Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Have you ever been in a long line and had to wait a really long time for something? After a while, your feet start to get kind of sore and your legs get tired as you stand there. And if you have little kids along, standing in a line motionless is the last place on earth that they want to be. And then if it drags on really long, you might need to take a bathroom break. But if you've been waiting in that line for a long time and you're maybe getting close to the front of the line, you really just don't want to give up that spot that you've waited so long for, because then you'd have to go to the back of the line and start all over again. My family has been in that situation a number of times. A couple of years ago at Disney World in Florida, waiting to get pictures taken with Princess Elsa and Anna. And of course, we couldn't leave the line because we had to get those pictures. But we also had baby Amelia along, who was certainly not at all happy to be standing in that line. Obviously, while that can be a very frustrating and tiring experience, it certainly is not a matter of life and death. If we had decided just to stop waiting in the line and take a bathroom break or take a break to change a diaper or get a snack or whatever, just get some fresh air, all that we would have lost was some time that we had spent waiting in the line. But the temptations of the devil and their consequences are matters of life and death. God says in his word that the wages of sin is death. We might think, well, if I give in to just one temptation to sin, that's not really so bad, is it? I mean, it's just one little sin. But God says, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. And God also says, death entered the world through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. So we see clearly that temptation and sin really are matters of life and death, eternal life and death. And the temptations of Jesus in the desert had an even higher stake riding on them. The devil knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God who came to destroy the devil's work and to break the curse of sin and death that was over all mankind. The devil knew that if he could get Jesus to sin just once, then Jesus' whole mission would be defeated. If Jesus had sinned just once, then he would not have been the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins with his death. If Jesus had sinned just once, then he would not have had a robe of righteousness to give to us to make us pure and holy in God's sight. Yes, there certainly was a lot riding on those temptations. So the devil gave it his best to try to make Jesus give in. But Jesus did not give in to those temptations, nor did he even waver for a moment. Though he was undoubtedly physically and mentally weary from having spent 40 days and nights fasting in the desert without food, Jesus turned to the true source of strength, to the Word of God, to fend off those temptations of the devil. The devil tempted Jesus to give in to his hunger and to turn stones into bread. But Jesus knew that it is the will of God the Father that he go without food for that time. So Jesus replied to the devil with a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 8. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Jesus knew that the essence of his existence and the existence of all people is not flesh and blood and food and drink. Rather, the essence of our existence is our spiritual relationship with God, which is sustained through the life-giving Word of God. And so Jesus turned to that Word of God to fend off that temptation of the devil. Well, then the devil tried to fight fire with fire. He took Jesus to a high point on the temple building, a temple complex which overlooks a ravine. And he tempted Jesus to throw himself down from that high point to see if he really trusted in God to save him, because the devil quoted Psalm 91, which says, "He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." But Jesus knew that this was a false interpretation of that passage. Jesus knew that God's promise of guardian angels is true, but he also knew that God does not want us to test his promise by deliberately doing something that could bring harm on ourselves or even death, like jumping off a tall building and expecting that God will send his angels to break our fall so that we don't get hurt. So again, Jesus responded to this temptation of the devil, this time with words from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, it is written, "You shall not test the Lord your God." Well, finally, the tempter gave it one last try. He took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him miraculously all the kingdoms of the world and all of their glory and splendor. And he said, "I will give you all of these things if you will bow down and worship me." Well, essentially, the devil was tempting Jesus to give up on his mission to suffer and to die for the sins of the world. The devil was tempting Jesus to take the easy way out by getting all the glory right now without any of the suffering. But Jesus knew that it was the will of God the Father, and indeed his own will, that he go to the cross and suffer for the sins of the world. And he knew that the Father would indeed put all the kingdoms of the earth and all their glory under his feet in due time, after he had risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. And besides that, Jesus had perfect love for his Father. There was no way that he would ever betray that love by bowing down and worshiping the enemy, Satan. So Jesus replied again with words from Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Go away, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Jesus resisted all these temptations. He was triumphant over the tempter. But what would you and I have done in the same situation? What do we do when the devil confronts us with many temptations in our lives? As we look at our past and as we examine our hearts, we have to admit that we haven't done very well in resisting the temptations of the devil. Certainly, there are many temptations that we have resisted by God's power and by his protection and grace. But there are also countless times when we have given in to temptation out of weakness, or even times when we have welcomed temptation and sin with open arms, sometimes even actively pursuing it. As the devil tempted Jesus to turn stones into bread, how often don't we give in to similar temptations by focusing on physical needs and wants so much that we completely forget about our spiritual needs? The devil tempts us to think that our bodies are more important than our souls, and so we focus our attention on our work or our investments. We forget to feed our souls with the truth of God's word and with the nourishment of his sacrament. And as the devil tempted Jesus to test God, do we sometimes give in to similar temptations to test God ourselves? Obviously, we haven't tested God in the way that the devil tempted Jesus to do by jumping off of a building, otherwise we probably wouldn't be here today. But maybe we test God in the way that the Israelites did when they were in the desert, After God had brought them up out of Egypt, they were there in the desert without any water and food. And they grumbled against Moses, God's servant, God's appointed leader, saying, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" And then they even directly questioned the love and loyalty of God, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Do we sometimes have the same attitude when something in our life is not going our way? Do we put God to the test, saying, "If you don't do what I want, then you're not really a real God, and I won't believe in you. If you don't do what I want right now, then all your promises to me are meaningless." Really, these are all just forms of failing to accept God's will. And that relates to the devil's third temptation to Jesus. Do we sometimes wish that we could skip out on all the suffering and the hardship of life that Jesus says are part of following him? Do we chase after wealth and health and harmony in relationships and as the ultimate goals of life rather than taking up the crosses that God has given to us to bear and following him on the path of devotion to him and his word? A path which may very well lead us through sickness, poverty, and strife. Do we sometimes think, "Life will be perfect if only I have a better job, or if only my stock portfolio goes up, or if only I get rid of my illness, or if I just get a good grade on my examination, or if I just find that special someone to share life with me, then everything will be fine." Do we forget that Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul?" Brothers and sisters in Christ, do these temptations and sins sound familiar to you? Don't try to defend yourself by blaming the devil, as Adam and Eve tried to do. God's word is clear that though the devil may indeed tempt us, yet the responsibility for sin itself is upon our own shoulders. The book of James tells us, "Each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." Because of our sins, we were utterly conquered by the devil, and we were destined for hell. But thanks be to God that he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we also are triumphant over the tempter. Jesus achieved victory over the devil by resisting all of the temptations of the devil there in the desert for those 40 days, and by resisting all temptation to sin for his whole life on earth. Jesus lived in a world full of sin and temptation, just as we do. But he did not give in to any of those temptations. The book of Hebrews tells us, "Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Because of his sinless life, he was the perfect sacrifice that God demanded for the sins of the whole world. He was the perfect Lamb of God who took the sins of all people upon himself when he suffered and died upon the cross. He took all of your sins and all of mine, and he removed them from us completely. Jesus has forgiven us for all the times when we have chased after earthly desires instead of bearing our crosses and finding our strength in his word and in his sacraments. Jesus has given us the victory so that we stand now triumphant over the devil. And Jesus has credited us with the righteousness of his sinless life, giving his perfection to us as a robe that covers over our sin-stained clothing. God no longer sees our disobedience and rebellion, but he sees only the perfect obedience and devotion of Jesus. This makes it impossible for the devil to accuse us before God. The devil will try to haul out a long laundry list of our sins and place them before God's eyes, saying, "Look, here is the time when she got angry and shouted at her mother. Look, here is the time when he was so concerned about his work that he stopped going to church or reading his Bible for a whole year. Look, here is the time when..." And God will say to the devil, "Be quiet. I see none of those things. I only see the many times when my son perfectly obeyed his mother and his stepfather. I only see the many times when my son submitted completely to my will and remained perfectly devoted to me. In fact, I see no sins of any kind on these sons and daughters of mine. Go and take your accusations elsewhere." So, brothers and sisters, when the devil comes tempting, remember that Jesus has given you the victory. And he has also given you the only weapon that you ever need to fight off the temptations of the devil, his holy word. Jesus himself turned to the word as the only source of truth and used it to fight off the lies and temptations of the devil. And we also can do the same. If you have a weakness for a particular sin, if you are tempted to do that sin again, turn to the word of God. Say to the devil, just as Joseph said to Potiphar's wife in the Old Testament, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" In times of temptation, remember the words of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Remember the promise of God and his word to send his guardian angels to protect you. This promise is true despite the false way in which the devil tried to use those words to tempt Jesus. The psalmist writes, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent." Indeed, we will trample the devil himself. We stand triumphant over him already because Christ has given us the victory. Remind the devil of that.